Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Now, these are very familiar words here. It's a very familiar story, but I invite you to try to hear it again as if for the very first time. What does the story mean to you today at this particular point on your journey of faith? He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. It's a very simple idea. Financial stewardship is a very simple idea. Generosity is a very simple idea. Theologically speaking, we give because we have received. It's central to the belief system of this community, you know, our community here at Pleasant Grove. We believe that in order to be healthy and whole, we need to give. Kids call it sharing, okay? It is ancient wisdom that if one chooses not to give, to be takers only, then that one is engaging in a process of spiritual implosion. You know, ultimately they fall in upon themselves. And like a black hole, they devour everything that comes near them, and eventually darkness prevails. Have you ever read Dickens' A Christmas Carol? Well, you remember Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Sure, well, you get the idea. Friends, the membership vows of the United Methodist Church include this commitment: I will support the ministry of this community with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. So think about that. I will support the work of the body of Christ in this place through the offering of my resources. That's what we're thinking about today. It's a very simple idea. Oh, and when we give in proportion to what we have. In other words, it's expected that those who have more will give more. You know, it's a whole idea of the tithe. Remember that? We keep 90% and 10% we offer back to God for the work of the kingdom. That's who we are. That's who we are, and that's how we structure our community. Okay. But it goes even deeper than that, doesn't it? Sure. You remember the story in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses is talking to the people. It's his farewell address. It's his goodbye. He is about to die, and they are about to enter the promised land. 40 years they've been wandering. 40 years waiting for this moment. And the land is symbolic of a new day, a new beginning. It represents abundant and meaningful life. It represents a future characterized by hope and goodness. Well, anyway, in his farewell address, after going through a litany of ethical reminders like don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, you know, don't commit adultery, Moses gathers everything up in one sentence. And you know the text, but allow me to refresh your memory. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Moses reminds the Israelites that it all boils down to this: grounding your life in the source of life. He says it's that simple. Moses says, don't forget that our community is grounded in the love of God. Therefore, structure your life around this fact. Let it become part of who you are. Let it direct your every step. Check your every word. Guide the movement of every single day of your life. Well, you remember the text. Here you go. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Wow. Okay, jump ahead 1,200 years from Moses. 1,200 years to the first century A.D., and the question is posed to a young rabbi from Nazareth. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, and at that particular time, it was the question of all questions. Well, you know, it's always a question of all questions, isn't it? Again, how can one find abundant, meaningful, and everlasting life? Yes, tell us. Well, Jesus doesn't even hesitate in his reply. He says, well, you know the answer to that. He said, it's right there. It's right there in front of you. And it's been right there in front of you for over 1,000 years. Think, boy, think. What is written in the law? What do you read there? He said. In other words, you've heard it over and over and over again. The community has affirmed and reaffirmed it from generation to generation. Go ahead, you tell me. Well, the man then looked at Jesus and speaks words that everyone in that place knew by heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your might. And your neighbor as yourself. Wow. You know, it's very interesting to me that the young man reaches back to the words he has been taught since youth. Words from Deuteronomy. But he doesn't stop there. No. Somewhere along the road from the 13th century B.C. to the 1st century A.D., these words had become linked to other ancient words found in the Torah, words found in the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and this linking gave what could be viewed as, you know, abstract and disembodied idea, you know, loving God, and grounded it in a concrete and incarnate ethic, loving others. I can see it clearly. Jesus, with a slight smile on his face, just half nods slowly to the man as he speaks these words. You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. Wow, beautiful. It's a beautiful story. What must I do to find everlasting life, abundant life, whole life? Love the Lord your God with all you are, and your neighbor as yourself. And friends, that's our story. That's our story. In the epistle we call 1 John, the author puts it this way. God is love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment as we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. All right. Next week is our annual Commitment Sunday. Up until last year, on Commitment Sunday, we would come together as a community, and with one voice, we would affirm the ministry vision of our community, a community called Pleasant Grove, and then we would make this reaffirmation, not with words alone, but would attempt to live into our words through a symbolic commitment of our lives. We would commit our resources, our economic resources, to our faith community here in this place. And we would do this mindful of the fact that there is no other funding source for us that sustains us. No, it's just us. It's just us. We pool our resources. We build a ministry plan. And then we go and do the best we can to extend God's grace and the love of Christ into this world. It's that simple. You know, year after year, we have continued to be in ministry because collectively and consistently, we step forward and we say, here are my gifts. Use them wisely, use them faithfully for the work of my church. Friends, your church, your faith community needs you to step up in a meaningful way next week. Step forward next week and commit to supporting ministry and life in this place for the coming ministry year. Now remember, it is our belief that it is important for communities like Pleasant Grove to exist, to serve as witnesses to a meaningful way of doing life. We think the world needs us. Well, now let me say, you have been extremely generous over the past 14 months. Now you may not remember this, but the first Sunday we missed church because of the pandemic was scheduled to be our annual commitment Sunday. That means that the last time that we got together to build a ministry vision and commit to underwriting that vision was April 7, 2019, over 2 years ago. Now, that could have had tragic consequences, but it hasn't. It hasn't. It goes without saying that the leadership of your church has been most faithful with your gifts, as it has worked to keep our long-term vision alive during these very difficult times. Your congregational care committee, your outreach committee, your stewardship committee, your staff parish relations committee, your finance committee, your administrative council have all worked to assure that the body of Christ in this place has continued to pursue its calling despite the obstacles posed by these challenging times. So please, take time, seek them out, and thank your leaders for their passion, their commitment, and their leadership. Oh, do you remember this passage from Matthew 25? Then he will say, "Depart from me, for I was hungry, and you did not care. I was thirsty and you did not care. I was a stranger and you did not care. Naked and you did not care. Sick and in prison and you did not care." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not care for one of the least of these, you did not care for me." When I was a kid, the go-to dismissive response was, "I don't care. I don't care." And in many ways, it seems that it is still the go-to response in our world today. "I don't care" is the problem of all problems. And I'm convinced that it lies at the root of most social ills. There is a lack of empathy and thus a lack of caring. And it is this caring deficit that is threatening meaningful and abundant life. Cue the church. The issue for us who claim to be followers, imitators, emulators of Jesus, the living and breathing body of Christ in this world, is that Jesus cared. Jesus cared. Jesus cared, so we care. We are a community of care that opens its arms and its doors to those whom Jesus says are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And here we offer them a place of rest, a place of restoration. We are a community that goes out to the highways and byways of our world in an attempt to find and bind up the broken. And as counterintuitive as it may seem, as we participate in such a community as this, we find life for ourselves. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. And although we will not be together physically for this very important celebration, we will be together spiritually as we look out across the coming weeks and the coming months as a new season of ministry and life together begins to unfold. Friends, a new day is dawning here at Pleasant Grove, and we need everyone to be part of these exciting times. So find your ministry. Find your ministry. Find your place. Thanks be to God. Amen.